When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are back.
For some more.
Yes. Always fun. Always fun.
We're like 75 deep on this.
I know. Every time they say the number, we're a little shocked. Really? That's how many we've been doing?
Good Lord.
Every week. I remember when we said we were going to do this every week, we were like, I don't know. Yeah. This sounds crazy.
But, sounds like a lot.
But we've done it.
Big commitment.
I know. We're almost a year and a half in. Getting closer. But wild. So wild. Wild to think of. We're so thankful, though, that everyone's been listening. It's been a fun ride for sure here at The Kylo Show. So, but with that, I feel like this is such a appropriate topic to segue to, which is we've kind of grown a little community.
We have. We have like a little church out there.
There's a lot of people that have been listening every week.
A little church of 15,000 people or whatever it is.
It's a bunch of people that want to do healthy relationships. That's what we keep hearing about.
It feels super important. Mm-hmm. And I'm honored to be able to make a contribution every week to whole healthy families, saving the world.
That's it. That's what we're chasing after.
Yeah.
So today's topic is God's design for community and what that means, what that looks like, and kind of just talking through it a little bit. I think community's been a big topic around here, and we've got some fun things that have been on our heart that we're actually making happen. So community felt appropriate to start covering.
Right.
So.
Right. It's like God created mankind to replicate who God is, right? God is a community, which is always kind of a strange. We talk about the Trinity, you're like, sure. What? Three in one? What? You know?
Like he's the greatest superhero.
Like an egg, you know? Like a solid gas and... What's the other one? Fluid, you know.
Liquid,
yeah, like ice and body, soul, and spirit. And this thing, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father is a community, which is, of course, a community living in perfect harmony.
Which is truly only God.
that's what it looks like right there. If you can live together in perfect unity, you have achieved the epitome of being human. So, Christ-likeness would be living in community. Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you require yourself to get out of yourself? Because I think the opposite is isolation, and it feels like it's becoming more and more the goal.
Sure. I just think, you know, from the very beginning, God's been on a search to have us with people. Mm-hmm. He created Adam, and he had all these animals, and like, all right, that's your people. Well, it's not working out. Okay, you need somebody else.
Yeah.
Because the animals are not your people.
Here you go. Adam, you got this perfect place.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Just run around. Do whatever you want. And then he goes, oh, this isn't good.
This isn't working.
This isn't good.
This tiger is not talking to you very
well. Yeah.
So we have to create.
You know what you need.
Yeah.
You need some people. Mm-hmm. Let's start getting some people around you. And so a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common is community, and community has, you know, hiding in the word common unity. So we put these common characteristics, and really you're not going to be in a community that you don't share something.
Right.
And you know, you can be a community of motorcycle riders, you know, like motorcycle riders see each other on the road, you know, one of them's coming from Florida and the other one's coming from Canada and they wave at each other. Like, that's weird. No, it's just common unity. There's a community of bikers, a community of cyclists, and it goes all over the world. I remember reading about these people that had a community around scissors. They all use the same scissors. I forget the name of the scissor now, but it was, you know,
something special.
It was in the book Brain on Fire, Brains on Fire.
Oh, okay.
And it was fantastic about how you actually create a movement is by creating a community.
Yeah.
And like, all right, well, that's a smart idea. We should gather around a common interest, and in there you find your people.
Yeah.
You find, you know, people you want to invest in, people you want to sacrifice for, people you want to be around, people you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny how you said scissors. I think about we got introduced to the 4-H world, and we didn't have the things that you need, you know, to take care of a lamb or to shear a lamb or to whatever with a pig. And all of a sudden, you know, we have this group of people, and we have this shared common goal, and the value for assisting, nurturing, loving, giving to someone that has a shared value and wanting to reach the same goal. I don't know. I've never met these people before, but here I am borrowing equipment that's worth hundreds of dollars. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you don't even know me. You're going to come to my house and help me shear this lamb?
Yeah.
Who are you? But it is again, it's rallied around this common unity that we want to see you be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the heart that I see that the Lord has, is that we get to be a successful group of people together when we live in community.
Yeah, and it is interesting that he has created us to be successful human beings.
Yeah, yes, that is his whole goal.
Yeah, he wants us to be successful. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to get the most out of life. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life in abundance, right? So more than you could ever use. That's the heart of God towards us. And then for whatever reason, when you think of the Tower of Babel, right? You know, they have this awareness that if they rally, they'll be super powerful. And they use that super powerful to get rid of God. Like, you know what we could do? We could be so awesome.
Yeah.
We could get rid of God. And you think, that is the dumbest thing you could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the trouble of human beings becoming powerful is they decide, now we could get rid of our dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm smarter than my dad. I think that kind of goes pretty deep, you know, in human beings. It's like,
it's been there a long time.
I can, you know, this generation's smarter than the last generation. We're better. We'll never do it like those cave people, you know, or whatever. Like, okay. The power of community is really for us to tap into how do we become more like God, not how do we replace him. With later, it's science. You know, we've rallied around discovering creation that had a creator, but we begin to become so smart understanding creation that we think, you know what we could do? We could get rid of God now, and here we go again. And now we're in another episode of the Tower of Babel. Essentially, we're smarter than our dad. We're smarter than the last generation. We are awesome. Like, oh, and then everything starts to come apart. The wheels come off as soon as we get rid of the goal of becoming more and more Christ-like.
It's crazy how far back that lie or that agenda goes even in the garden, you know, of he doesn't want you to be powerful. He doesn't want you to know what true power is. So the deceiver has been after this life for a really long time, and it really does weave its way through the Bible and even to present day over and over again. Mm-hmm. Is let me convince you of this so that you position yourself to be unsuccessful.
Yeah, so that's a great point. The whole temptation conversation is God's afraid that you'll become like him. Mm-hmm. And Adam and Eve had one rule, yeah, basically, you know, don't do that right there, okay?
If you gave your kid one rule, they'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's just baffling that we, at one point, we had one rule, mm-hmm, just don't do that one thing. Yeah. You can do whatever else you want. Whatever you can come up with, do it. But that one thing, don't do it. Why? Yeah, one rule so that it could demonstrate that they had a ruler, a rule maker. God was the ruler because there was one rule, which is so oppressive, right? You need to escape from this tyranny. And the deceiver says, oh, God's afraid if you break his rule, mm-hmm, then you'll be the rule maker. You'll be the ruler. And so that gets in the heart of man. And well, it was in the heart of man. Took over.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that keeps busting his communities apart. Because mm-hmm, after the Tower of Babel and that whole, you know, that whole sequence of, you know, pretty rough experience in the fall of man, right up until the, you know, day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes and introduces a brand new community. Mm-hmm. Here you go. The Holy Spirit comes and fills all those who were in the upper room, mm-hmm, you know, not just the men.
Everybody.
Yeah, all of them, 150 of them, boom, all of them got filled with the spirit of power, mm-hmm, the spirit of love, the spirit of unity. And that becomes the seed that goes into the world around, but, you know, building community. Mm-hmm. And it is ironic that no matter what you do to the seed of Christ, no matter how you try to kill it, mm-hmm, like that meme that says, they tried to bury us, and then they discovered that we were seeds. You know, like, oh, yeah. That is Christianity, because every time you try to snuff it out, every time you try to break that community, that common union, every time you try to get rid of it, destroy it, attack it, every time, mm-hmm, it resurrects. You know, I'm thinking about Antioch when they decided to just increase the attacks. You know, they're going to oppress the Christians. They're going to destroy them. And all they did is like hit this fire,
yeah,
surrounded by weeds, and it just went up. And so Antioch ends up being this first apostolic sending center. And now Christianity is everywhere because they were all comfy. You know, they're all like cozy, like they had their little kumbaya groups. And here comes the attacks and persecutions. And now they're spread all over the world. And now they got a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. Like that was this called spiders and starfish, or what was that? Starfish and spiders, maybe
something like that.
Uh-huh. I can't remember the title of that book, but I
see the cover on my. I can see it.
But that I think it's in there that story of they had all these starfish problems everywhere and on this coastline, so they scooped them up all one day, and some genius decided to, let's chop them into little tiny pieces and then throw them back in the water.
Feed the fishes with them.
Yeah, we killed them. No, actually, you didn't kill them, because they just keep growing off the pieces. Mm-hmm. So now you have multiplied. And that really feels like the body of Christ again and again and again. Wherever it you try to stamp it out, you end up multiplying it. No.
I think, you know, I love that God's in the beginning of creation, he did this with Adam. Like, you need a person. Mm-hmm. And then when Jesus came, he found his 12 disciples, and he's like, these are my people. And so it's this theme that God keeps displaying, whether it's from the beginning of creation to when he sent his son, that says, I'm trying to show you that you are created for people, and this is how you do it, you know? And I love that, obviously, Jesus created a community by his teachings, and they would come to see him, but he really had a small network of people that he poured into. And that's and so, like, the starfish analogy, that just multiplied. And it's just beautiful. You know, I think that's sometimes that, you know, we have these mega churches and we have these small groups, and I think God's in both of them. There's mm-hmm. just a different design mm-hmm. of this community that he's speaking of.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the large-scale celebration, gathering, filling arenas with believers.
Those conference moments.
Just this giant feedback that we are a people.
Sure.
Like, I remember going to Promise Keepers. Hmm. I went to one in Eugene, Oregon, Duck Stadium, and 40,000 men. Mm-hmm. Worshiping together, it, you know, you could just it, we just stop. I would just stop and just
it's amazing.
Listen, mm-hmm. like, wow, this is amazing, yeah. And the catalytic joining together mm-hmm. of hearts and minds and purpose, you know, it no doubt is probably got the devil shaking in his boots, like, oh my gosh, if these guys figure out who they are.
Yeah.
And they did a great job of, you know, breaking it down into small groups, because that's really where the life is exchanged day to day, is with your friends, mm-hmm. your smaller community. It's got to be real. It's got to be tangible. You got to have somebody that you can call mm-hmm. and say, help me. She's making me crazy. What am I going to do? You
know? These kids, I don't know what to do.
I'm out of money. I don't feel like a man anymore. Whatever. I mean, it's got to turn into a phone call. Mm-hmm. So you go from 40,000 in a coliseum, you know, an arena, and it's got to turn into a phone call. Yeah. It's got to be practical. Like, who am I going to call when I am in trouble? Mm-hmm.
I remember we took a youth group with us to the Chicago Jesus Culture Conference. Mm-hmm. I don't know what arena we were in, but
United.
Okay. It was massive. Mm-hmm. I just remember standing there with our kids, our youth kids, and the same experience you're describing, the arena's going crazy. And I just remember thinking, wow, these kids, if they can latch on to this staying alive their whole life, mm-hmm. they're going to be okay. And that's why, I mean, when our girls go to camp or they go to a conference, I just think these are those moments that you're searching, how do I keep this experience, this fire, this desire of, I love being in this room, and what happens in this room is so energizing to my faith, but I got to do it with my friend.
Yeah.
So we get to reference this moment. We get to talk through that night that was unreal, or that we saw somebody get healed, or, you know, I got touched by the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time like I'd never had before. Mm-hmm. I love the big experiences, but when you get to do it in a smaller group, you come home and you take it. It's kind of like this. You took a little ember with you, and you're going back to your campfire like, okay, mm-hmm. it's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, idea of I guess a question I have is what are the embers that you've got going on in your own community? Like, mm-hmm. are you pulling from something that's helping you keep alive this fire for what God's doing? You know, it's been a crazy season. Where's the hope in your community? Is this something that's going on in your life? Mm-hmm. Like, it's an easy thing to think that just Sunday morning we go, that we're getting it, but is there someone that you're calling afterwards? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the next level that I think is really God's hope for community when he talks about this.
I think the design of community really is to also to grow us up. Mm. You know, we have a little puppy at our house.
Yes, we do.
You know, and there's seven people there, and this little puppy is trying to figure out where to go potty. You know, like, where do I go potty? I don't even know where to go potty. Yeah. And like, okay, well, let us teach you. We're going to have to show you
over and over again
where this works and where this doesn't work. And I remember when I got saved, I had no idea what the heck. Mm-hmm. I'm 21 years old. I've never seen a Bible. I've never talked to anybody about Jesus. I have, other than maybe Noah's Ark and David and Goliath, I've never heard any Bible story. Mm-hmm. Certainly didn't hear any about Jesus.
Yeah.
Heard a couple, you know, of the big ones, but mm-hmm. I don't even know how I heard those. But when I got saved, my life had a lot of destructive momentum in it. And I was introduced into a community, a group of people who had a common unity around life and love in Jesus and becoming more Christ-like. That was their goal. And I came in and I thought they're going to think I'm this stupid. I mean, I shut down. I was just so sure. quiet everywhere I went. And I was basically learning what it meant to be born again. Mm-hmm. I was learning where to go potty. I had no idea, where do you go potty anyway? Do we ever potty again? Because I heard that you guys don't potty. I'm like, no, we potty. We just potty over there now.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. And that that had to be demonstrated. There was the Sunday morning message, which I maybe understood 10% of. And then in this small group, I would ask questions like, what did he mean by that? What is that? I still don't understand all this Jesus blood stuff. Why, you know, I was a meat cutter. I got get blood, but
why are we drinking it?
I never thought of that being having power in the blood. And we keep singing this song, power, there's power, power. What are you talking about? And so as we would meet together and I would have questions, I could call different ones. And the message got translated into character in my life through the involvement. And your mom and I, we weren't married the first year of our Christianity, so we were in different communities, different groups within the same community, but we had totally different, leaders and cultures in our little groups. And when we did get married, we had to figure out, which community's right? Which one's better? So we had to do all that, like in-laws or something. So we went to both for a while, and then we picked a third. Just did a third one together as a couple. And that's how we learned to be married. It's where we learned to be parents. It's where we learned how to talk about money with each other. It's where we learned about how do you follow Christ? How do you hear Jesus talking to you about 5 years from now, who you were created to be? How do you receive a destiny? All of that was learned in a community. And so I can see why the devil would war against people getting in, staying in, and thriving in a community.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, we were talking about community because we've got some really fun things that we're building. And I know that we talk a lot about the podcast community and, you know, from the questions or the testimonies that we get sent in to, you know, more now than ever, anywhere that I am, you know, or you're speaking or we go somewhere, they're like, we love the show. And, you know, it helped me here and there. And I think that that's the part that really has been putting on display, that there's been a community that's been growing from the Kylo show, which is super fun. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where you've got like-minded people chasing after a whole healthy families are going to save the world like never before. I think we've created a phrase that a lot of people are rallying behind. And with that, you know, it's fun to hear. I shared it with my sister. I shared it with my mother-in-law. I shared it with my neighbor. And I think that if you want to keep sharing it, the best way to do that is to give reviews on Spotify or Apple. I don't really know where you give reviews for the podcast, but do that. And I think the other place, too, so that we can keep staying connected to this community that we love, is our email list. And if you're not familiar with the Loving on Purpose newsletter that we send out, you might want to go to our website and check that out so you can sign up, so you can hear about the things that we're doing, so we can stay connected to you outside of just the Kylo show, because we do other things, guys.
We do other things.
We do lots of other things.
We are capable of other things.
But you don't hear about all of them because we just have the show. But, yeah, so as we just go down this journey of community, we really just want to say thank you for being a part of ours, and we're excited to be part of your community. And we'll see you soon. All right, well, we're going to take some questions now. And the first question that we have comes to us from Alex.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you again for everything you guys are doing through Loving on Purpose, the Academy, the Kylo Show, the books I've read. Thank you so much for all your help. I have a question about helping young people with their choice of friends. I work with a young boy in grade 7 who, when God looks at him, sees a life changer. His behavior at the moment, a lot of the time in class, is the complete opposite of that. I have a suspicion, there's a few things going on, but I do think part of it is who he's choosing to hang out with and the influence they're having on his behavior. So when it comes to keeping your love on, when it comes to boundaries, and obviously only be able to control myself, what wisdom do you guys have about making young people and our kids aware of our concerns about who they're hanging out with and the effect who they're hanging out with is affecting our connection, you know, be it a teacher to student or parent to child, and to just, yeah, help them make some great decisions about their friends. Thank you so much for your help. God bless.
Well, I like that Alex gave a listing of all the things that we do before he asked his question, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on all of our fun adventures here at Loving on Purpose.
Yeah.
So, but he's committed.
He's paying attention.
He is. Yeah. He is. That's awesome. Well, I have a 7th grader, and I'm not a teacher, but I am a parent. So I've had our share of, and we have more than one child. So I would say that there's been lots of opportunities for friends that feel questionable to our core values, to our standards, and just our culture. So there's definitely been some moments where I feel like threat is a too big of a word, but unpleasant friction in our home that's been created by some of friend dynamic or choosing of people. Mm-hmm. And for us, a lot of the process, I think because of our connection, so starting there, the fact that we are pretty connected with both of our older girls, our level of connection creates opportunity where we can give some pretty real feedback. But before we ever give that feedback, it's usually some questions like, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but when you talk to your brother, you seem really disrespectful. And I notice that you seem more disrespectful after you come back from so-and-so's house. Have you noticed that? And sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't notice that. Most of the time, I'd say no. And I then usually ask, why do you think that is? What's going on there? Because I notice that this person seems to be okay with talking to their siblings like that. And that's not a way that we talk to each other. So what's going on here? And that's typically the dialogue that I would have in the exchange, is leading with some questions. If they're not getting it at all with my questions, to the fact that, okay, maybe my behavior is being influenced by this person, or maybe my exposure to their culture, I'm giving permission to and bringing it over here, then I usually give a little bit more clarity to, well, this is no fun. I'm having no fun. And I'm afraid that if you go over to this person's house, you're going to come back with this.
You smell like their house.
I don't like the smell.
You smell like the house you were just at. So we noticed.
Yeah. So that's typically how we would walk through a process with our kids in that. And then I would, do you want to talk to your brother that way? Do you want to treat me that way? Is that your goal? Is that what you want me to experience in our relationship? Is that you're disrespectful or you can be hurtful? And of course, they're like, no, I don't. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want that either. And I don't know what to do except for potentially limit your exposure unless you can figure out how you're going to manage yourself. Because crazy people, no fun people, disrespectful people, people that you want to like you but have a very different culture, they're not going away. This is going to be, you know, from any job they ever have to maybe a family they marry into. I don't know. These people are here to stay. They're not going away. But how you manage yourself, it's completely up to you.
Mm-hmm. As I was listening to Alex describe that setting, I was thinking, gosh, that was me. You know, I was that kid. I was the kid that was always trying to get somebody's approval, always trying to make a commotion, make everybody laugh, because school was not working for me at all, but I was funny. You know, yeah. I was funny, and I had friends, you know, because I could crack up a classroom or whatever. So I was always disruptive and sent out of the class or sent to the principal's office. And I had a shady group of friends because I lived in a shady part of town, and the, you know, walking distance was shady. You know, like, okay, yeah. This is, we hang out together. So it was, I'm sure, to the, you know, the teacher looking at my life, it wasn't going to turn out well for me. But I had some really unbelievable, effective teachers that spoke some things into my life. I wrote it in the foreword of Bernie's book, Loving Our Students on Purpose. But it was a story of Mr. Dunch. He was one of my high school teachers. And I remember, I think it was algebra, because math has never been my topic. And he could clearly see that I was acting out and or just disengaged. Mm-hmm. And I remember him sitting in front of me one day, and he said, Danny, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's something special about you. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you find that, you know. And I looked at him like it didn't go in. You know, like, whatever, dude. But it went in, and it bounced around inside me, because I'm hoping bad that there's something special in there, because when I look around in my life, I see nothing special, and it's losing that its glow, you know. And so I'm a teenager then, and I end up getting saved at 21. I went to school thinking I had a learning disability because my grades were, you know, my grade point average was a point, started with a point,
yeah,
which is not supposed to start with a point. There's supposed to be a number on this side, you know. And I went to junior college. I took a class. I got an A. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't have a learning disability. I just had an effort disability. I never tried.
Sure.
So I got my master's degree, and I drove back to Weaverville. I went to Trinity High School. I found Mr. Dunch, and I held up my master's degree to him, and I showed him. And he said, I told you. Like, he remembered that there's something special in there. Mm-hmm. So teachers, parents, friends of families, Sunday school teachers, you know, just remember, you are adding something to the box of these children.
Yeah.
You don't get to determine their outcome, but you do get to add something to the box that they have moving forward to believe, you know, and there's bad stuff that people add to the box too that they have to work out of. But as a teacher, as a parent, as a grandparent, a friend, remember, you know, you have some powerful stuff that you can add for that child one day as an adult to reach in and grab and go, I hope this is true. Mm-hmm. So don't ever stop prophesying into the destiny of any kid that you cross paths with.
Yeah. I think that in Bethel, I worked with the children's department, and I had all the kids that come off the buses, you know, and they are these hard life kids, you know, and they're in preschool. And I remember having this one kid over and over again, and one of my teachers under me was just so frustrated. She had a short fuse with him. She was so frustrated. And I remember telling her, I said, you have no idea who this child could be. I said, but you could forever be remembered to him as something positive or something negative. And that's completely up to you. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And so I think, Alex, you seem like you're doing your homework to be a voice of hope to this kid and to the kids that you work with. So I would just encourage you to keep being that voice of hope and truth, and be a Mr. Dunce, you know, be a Mr. Laux. That was one of mine. And I think that you just call out the greatness and keep building that connection so you can ask and give influence when they're ready for it. But it sounds like you're doing a great job, Alex. So good question. Great stories, as always. Okay, the next question we have comes to us from Megan today.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thanks so much for doing the Kylo Show. I wanted to get your feedback on how to build community if you've moved to a new place and you don't know anyone. I come from a pretty tight-knit community, and I just moved across the states, and I am looking to start community around me, and I feel like I'm not sure where to start or where to go. So I would love some help. Thanks so much.
I think this is a pretty common question.
People moving around all the time these days.
Yeah, lots of moving. Mm-hmm. Lots of where do I start, especially when you've got such a rich, thriving community wherever you were, whether it's work or just God's calling you somewhere else, whatever it is, there's this, all of a sudden you feel like you're on an island. You know, I remember Ben and I moving down to Sacramento. We had quite a little community in Redding. Mm-hmm. And when we moved, we had some big expectations that we were going to plug right in, because there was like 60 people that moved down here with all their children included. And we had a young family. So we're like, yes, we're just going to insert here. It's going to work. It's going to be great. It's not working. And I think that the really breakthrough came in willingness to be uncomfortable in the search, you know, which when I say that, what I mean is, you know, we went from running teams at Bethel to, you know,
not being on a team.
To not being on a team to then, you know, being, you know, under somebody that was probably 10 years younger than us running the greeters team. So we're standing outside. I mean, it was so just drastic from what we were doing. You know, I was meeting with, you know,
You were training.
I was training 100 people and then the children's ministry, Ben was doing the same. He had all sorts of different people he was working with from the school ministry. I mean, it's just massive to, we're handing out pamphlets of, this is where your tithe goes.
We want you to dress up in this hot dog and stand out on the corner.
Almost. And not that that was beneath us. It just was such a drastic difference of, you know, well established and just grown so much in influence and leading to, okay, we have to be really willing to, I'm desperate for community. So I'm going to serve in whatever way you need so I can get connected. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part that I would encourage you is being willing to serve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if your character stands out, then you get promoted. If you're doing a good job of taking care of that vision that someone has, and you usually get promoted, but it's really being able to get in there and just serve the vision of the house. And I think finding a church is kind of like a little bit like a dating scene, you know, does this feel like my people? Nope. Okay. I'm going to have to figure out what my people feel like, you know, and that's a process too. I've walked through some people trying to figure out, you know, is this home for me?
Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, you have people that you don't have to let go of, mm-hmm, before you, yeah, get in this community. So you can stay connected to some input in your life and some comforting conversations and some people that sound familiar and that sort of thing. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't didn't go leave, away, yeah, in the move. Some people don't have community anywhere they go. They just gripe about it, and they don't ever build it. They just find all kinds of reasons to stay the same, but community actually changes you. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to find a good one, because so that it calls you up. Because you can also find a downward community that disintegrates what you were. Yeah. So, you know, pay attention to, you have to be able to learn and grow from your community. Mm-hmm. You come into a community, you cannot come in there expecting them to learn from you.
Yeah.
Okay, I've come here to change your community, because that's not going to happen.
I am the leader.
Yeah, you're not. You've come into this community to be adopted, mm-hmm, essentially. And so be willing to learn the culture of that group. And maybe it's a different part of the world, you know, it's a different part of the country, different. Okay. And you're like, wow, these people are weird. They do some weird stuff. You know, I just imagine, you know, how long would it take for me to be wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat if I moved to Texas? Well, I take it with me, you know, but it wouldn't take long at all. But I do think that, you know, there's an adaptation element that I need to be willing to do, as well as keep your standards high. Mm-hmm. You know, don't compromise. It's kind of like the dating scene. Like, don't give up on your standard because you haven't found who you're looking for yet. Keep that thing up there, because you will be really sad if you lower your standards and marry it, right?
Yeah.
Or have children with it or whatever. And you're like, poof, that didn't go well. Yeah. So I think paying attention to where you want to be and then be willing to be adopted.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well, good questions as always. And we're going to jump into our testimony. Okay, well, today's testimony comes to us from Craig.
Hey, Danny and Brittany, my name is Craig. First, I want to thank God. God is the one who introduced me to your show through my wife, but it was all because of God. And I needed to hear the two podcast episodes I listened to today, which I've only listened to two, but I'm going to listen to prior and I'll listen to future ones as well. But I was in the kitchen this morning making coffee before work, and my wife was in the kitchen as well, and she had a podcast on, and it was you guys, and I hear you guys talking. It was the Overcome Your Overwhelm series that you guys did, those two pods. And I'm listening and like, man, they're talking about trigger levels. They're talking about how people can act with trigger levels. They're talking about this drip line of adrenaline. They're talking about how it can, you know, going on vacation, how you think you can just go and get away from it, all this stuff. And basically just talking about how we need to have the proper systems and the proper setup in our subconscious and our lives to be able to combat that. And that just spoke to me because that's me. You talk about flight, fight, or flee. And I mean, I might be the perfect definition of that person because I live with that just about every day. I was 12 when my brother got into a dirt bike accident that left him paralyzed and our lives were flipped upside down. And from that moment on, I mean, I didn't realize that I've had a victim's mentality. I was always told, you know, you were kind of the silent victim in this, Craig, because, you know, your life was impacted too, even though physically it didn't affect you. And man, I didn't realize the emotional and psychological impact it was going to have on my life too, in a negative way, because of not healthily dealing with it, not having somebody, you know, not talking to a counselor or a pastor. You know, I thought back then, I was 12, and even leading up to about a couple of years ago, I thought if you share, or if you get help, or you go to a counselor or whatever, that doesn't show you hurt. It shows you're weak. That was the lie I've been living with. And it's still hard for me to open up to people. I've gotten a lot better over the last couple of years, but it's just really hard. But I just really, you know, appreciate these your podcast and the two episodes I listened to, and I'm excited to listen to other pods as well. Just in regards to just the regulation of our system and understanding our system and needing to know our triggers and just wholeheartedly understand like what that stress level is in your life and what that anger level is. And when you reach it, how do you combat that? How do you stop it? What needs to happen? And that's been a big struggle for me. Failed marriage. I'm on my second marriage. Love my wife, but she's my target. Not on purpose. But she's my target. Whenever I feel threatened, I feel disrespected, I feel hurt, anger, and those triggers, trigger, 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 trigger. Next thing you know, I'm seeing red and I just can't help it. And Danny, you mentioned how powerful the devil can be in our lives in those moments when we allow it. And you are so right. My wife says to me that, you know, I'm so good with my words and I'm really good at saying things that can cut her to her core. And that's not who I am as a person. I love my wife unconditionally and I want my marriage to work and I would give anything for it to work. But it's these unhealthy systems I've had in my life that have led me to just where I'm at and the pain and the hurt and the all these feelings that are inside you. But again, going back to the devil playing a huge part in your life when you allow it. I'm not a good, I mean, sure, I'm a salesman. I'm good with my words. I can talk, I guess, but I don't sit here and think in my mind all these comebacks and all these negative, terrible things to say. They just come out. And sure, if you were looking at it in a perspective of what I'm actually saying and how good I am at cutting her down, yeah, I'm great at it. That's not a proud trait. And so I've been, you know, going to counseling, seeing different counselors and working on myself. I want to be a life coach. I want to be able to talk to people and help people through their trauma too. Obviously, I understand I have to get mine under control before I could even help anybody else. But again, your guys' pod, man, I've only listened to the two episodes, like I mentioned, but they were so impactful. I'll be listening to future and past stuff that you guys have done and will be doing. And I appreciate it so much. I found your website. First, I see the Kylo Show on my wife's phone. I'm thinking, oh, sweet, I'm a Star Wars guy, Kylo Ren. But I looked you up. I'm like, I've met Danny once. He spoke at a conference here, saw the button on the bottom right that I needed to share my testimony. And so I just felt like the Holy Spirit shoved me in the back, said, nope, you got to press start and start talking. So you guys are great. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to hear more.
Well, those were great episodes to come in on.
They were.
And that's so happy for him that sounds like he's got some hope and some...
He's on a journey.
He's definitely kind of got some momentum to make some adjustments, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm so glad he got on the first two. I think we definitely got to get in on that Kylo 5, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really big part of your journey, Craig, is to learn how to master those.
Lots of learning in store. Mm-hmm. But that's great. I mean, he sounds willing, and that's 90% of the battle right there.
Yeah. It's willing to say, yes, I need help. Yes, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm in enough pain. You know, you say people change for one of two reasons, pain or vision. It's normally pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, pain is quite a big motivator. And you know, when we had Margaret on the podcast, she really just kind of opened up this, you know, pain manifests itself in so many ways. And whether we choose to ignore it or fight it or participate in it, it's doing something. So what are we going to do with this?
And as messy as it sounds, this is the path to whole healthy families.
Mm-hmm.
Is you got to be willing to face the pain,
yeah,
face the fear, learn new things, change, prioritize your connections. You know, it's if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it, right?
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Well, hopefully, Craig, you know, another really great resource that we have that's along the topic of what you got to be a part of on this podcast is the Life Academy course that we have, Overcoming Your Overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret does that, and it's wonderful. So if you haven't checked that out, you should jump in on that. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Kylo Show. It's fun to, again, have an extension of you as our community, and we're really excited that you're running with us to chase down and help, you know, the message that whole healthy families are going to save the world. So we're excited to be part of that journey with you.
See you next time.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.